If you've been told to pull up your socks recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I'm talking to a couple. In fact, a relationship coach couple. I'm talking to Jenny and Dan Abdelnour on the topic of creating long-lasting relationships in a modern world. Welcome to the show, Dan and Jenny.
Good to be here.
So good to be here. Thanks for having us.
I'm so thrilled to dive into this. Relationships is something I've been obsessed with since back in the day when I wrote my parenting book, probably, gosh, about 14 years ago. For those of you that don't know Dan and Jenny, well, Dan and Jenny met on the dance floor in a Birmingham, UK venue back in 1998. Since then, they've spent 26 years traversing the highs and lows of a committed relationship. Today, they find themselves back where they started, completely in love. Connecting with other couples and people struggling in similar relationship situations led them to share what they've discovered and a realization that they weren't alone in trying to figure out this great mystery. As Dan says, had things always been easy in our relationship, we'd never have moved into the relationship coaching space. Now, however, with their understanding of why couples start to drift apart and the lived experience of how to turn things around, they're assisting others wishing to take their relationship to the next level. Our work is more practical, felt, and tangible than traditional talk therapy, says Jenny, who also spent 25 years as a certified physiotherapist. They share their signature program, which is called the Relationship Code, through workshops, retreats, coaching, and online at www.relationshiprising.com. As a couple, their gift is to be able to explain things from both the male and female perspective, resulting in powerful insights and a fresh understanding of each other. I think this is something a lot of people will be interested in. Welcome to the show. And I'd love it to go to you first, Dan. Before we dive into your revelations and insights, I would love it if you could walk us through a little bit more of the backstory. How did you yourself, or possibly both of you, come to this place where you're now relationship coaches, as well as parents, as well as lovers?
Thank you, Natalie. Yeah, so I come from kind of a church background in many ways. I was went to church for the first 20 years of my life. And then I met Jenny in a nightclub. My parents always told me you'll never meet a nice girl in a nightclub, but hey, there you go. And we had that kind of honeymoon period where things went really, really well, probably for a year or two. And then we hit that place where things just started to get a bit sticky and tricky and patterns started to keep reoccurring. And rather than being able to solve them, they kind of got worse. And that probably went on for a decade until eventually it was like, there has to be something underlying here. There's something going wrong, because deep down, I still love Jenny, but it wasn't a pleasant and joyful existence. You know, the frustrations with myself as much as with Jenny were getting worse by the year. And I thought, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in this space. So I took some time out, fully committed to Jenny. I literally said, I'm going away. And I went to the US, believe it or not. And I hired a car and I slept in the back of that car. And it was one of those kind of, I had one spoon, I had one fork, I had one bowl, and I was going to survive. And I had a mission to figure out what was wrong with my relationship back in New Zealand. And on that journey, I discovered what was wrong. And the surprise was, it wasn't so much Jenny as myself. And I realized that when I changed some things about myself and came back to Jenny, all the things I kind of dreamt of happening, all the things I wanted Jenny to change, they automatically came into fruition without me kind of even having to ask.
A few things that jump out at me there is, isn't it amazing how we can put up with something? I think you said 10 years, you know, so another 10 years go by and things are just, they're all right. They're not great. Isn't humanity fascinating how we can just let time go by before we take what I like to call empowered action? And that was your sabbatical across the world. Is that common for people to wait so long?
I think you don't change until the pain gets unbearable. That's my truth.
And I love Dan's view and Dan's background of that. I had a similar journey over, although mine was much longer, of recognizing, as I'm a body worker, so I've had thousands of people hands-on on the treatment table, and I started to unpack and unpick the biodynamics of whatever issue their physical body was presenting with, whatever disease was presenting itself. There was a pattern, there was a story, and pretty much always it would come back into what is happening in their relational field. How are they feeling in all the spaces that they exist and live in? So I started to see all these patterns coming through, and my frustration, Natalie, was it seemed like I could help everybody else except myself. Mm-hmm. So it was a deeper dive to turn the mirror back towards myself and get under my own hood and get into my own, the viscera, the tissue, the organs, the organization of my own, what I was bringing to the relationship with Dan, and to be able to turn towards each other and not make each other wrong, but to drop into a place of depth and curiosity where we could start to really, take ownership, like radical responsibility of what I was bringing to the relationship, what I was emanating, what I was, bringing to our shared spaces.
Isn't it fascinating? So from your bio, I recall you were a physiotherapist. And isn't it fascinating how the body presents with physical and how some people, if they're just not open to noticing, like you said, the pattern, the emotional, relational, I think you used the term relational side of things, they might just keep going back, you know, jogging or going back to the physio, but never delving into the relationship side. Dan, I'm going to go to a question for you. I think you were mid-story when I interrupted you. How did you shift how you showed up? Like when you came back from that road trip with your spoon and your fork, you said that when you shifted, you changed, everything else changed. What did that look like?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there thinking, so what was the realization? So maybe if I kind of explain very briefly the realization. One of the key things which Jenny and I were aware of, but I hadn't realized that this was the kind of the real crux of the problem and the solution, was if you think of there being two different energies, and we can call them like masculine energy and feminine energy, which aren't specifically for men and women. So men have masculine energy and feminine energy, and women have masculine energy and feminine energy, and some women have a lot more masculine energy than some men, and vice versa. What had happened with our relationship, and the masculine, just so we're clear on this, is more about getting stuff done, finishing stuff off, completing it, and then being free. So there's nothing done. You can put your feet up, have a beer, and watch the telly.
And on the flip side of that, I guess the feminine energy, which is within Dan, within me, it's not gender specific, it's the law of the universe. Those qualities are much more about connection, about love, about life force, about vibrancy, vitality, well-being. So it has a different quality of always wanting more and more, and that quality of abundance, whereas the masculine has the desire for nothing, completion, end, finish, stop. And freedom.
And so I've got a big heart. As a man, I've got a huge heart. I got a lot of love. I love a lot of things in life, including my wife, including the relationship. And what had happened was I had effectively moved more into that feminine space of love and wanting to connect with Jenny and wanting the relationship to be deeper. And I was actually chasing Jenny. And Jenny had decided, well, if you're not going to be in the masculine space of getting stuff done, I'll move into that space. So she'd moved more into the masculine and was kind of more interested in freedom and was disappearing on retreats and workshops, and she'd gone. So we kind of flipped. And what my journey in America made me realize was, because I was wanting Jenny to be more loving and in that space of love with me specifically. And what I realized was I couldn't force her to come into the space of love. I actually had to lead as a man in that space of the masculine. And I had to stand in my space and my power and lead and listen and create. And when I moved into that space, with some pretty simple things, really, it wasn't rocket science, but I just hadn't realized that. When I could show Jenny, I got this, then she was able to, not all the time, but sometimes when she chose, in those moments where we wanted that connection and polarity and passion, she could move into the space of love, knowing that I'd got it and I knew what I was doing in that space. And that just changed everything.
What a simple thing. And I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to linguistics. And what I just wrote down is what she kind of needed from you and what you as a relationship needed, it sounded like, is for you to lead instead of need, right? Like you needed her to love you, and that probably repelled her. Did it, Jenny? Did it kind of push you away?
That's a beautiful description, Natalie. Yeah, the leading, not needing. And for me, as a, I have a lot of energy. I have a lot to give and generosity. And that feeling, I mean, Dan probably okay with me saying this, it felt like he was needing to suck off the mother tit the whole time. So it had that quality. Yeah, of the feeding of needing that energy all of the time. And my strategy was to evade, to bolt, to be everywhere else, and to bring my love into every other place except in this space with Dan. So the patterns of defensiveness, evasion, avoidance, the stonewalling, being cold, being disconnected were all strategies that I found. And in our relationship, I'd become all spine and he'd become all heart. And it was really tricky for us to navigate how to bring that back to a healthier balance.
Mm.
I imagine some of our listeners are having a little bit of an aha moment, especially when you just talked about all spine versus all heart. And if you're listening, we would love to hear your thoughts. We would love to hear your reflections and your questions. You can send a text to 2057. You can send an email, if that is more your jam, to inbox@realitycheck.radio. We're talking today about creating long-lasting relationships in a modern world. So how do we create long-lasting relationships in a modern world? Do you have some specific do's and don'ts or practical tips you can share with us?
Absolutely. I feel one of the key things is actually this realization of where you're sitting on kind of, we call it the relationship code. It's like a roadmap. And you understand when you are more in the masculine and when you are in the feminine. And even just that basic realization helps you understand what's going on in when things get stuck. You know, if, for example, if you're a woman and you go to work and you're in that masculine kind of got to get stuff done, action orientated. No, not really about making connection and friends at work. It's getting stuff done. You're in your head. You're taking action. You're working hard. If you come home, just realizing what space you're in. And if you're, you know, maybe a man at home and you're in that masculine space as well, and two of you are kind of then butting heads because you're both in that masculine space, just being aware of that might be a good thing if you, I don't know, if you've got to, you know, stack some firewood and you just got to get something done quickly because it's going to start raining. But if you want to kind of come into a connection space, it's realizing, hang on, who's going to move more? If you want a bit more of that polarity, as we call it, which is where one is in the masculine holding space and one moves more into the feminine space. And it could be the man or the woman, but it's realizing, hang on, one of us needs to move. So it's a simple thing of, you know, maybe the man or the masculine partner says, hey, let me run your bath. Let me make you a cup of tea. You just go and, you know, relax. And
I think that is music to every woman's ears, just to make a broad generalization.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what I love about it is I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy to change patterns, but it's not rocket science. I mean, most men can make a cup of tea and most men can run a bath. And it's that calm, I got you. You've done a, yeah.
So fascinating. Okay, so what I'm hearing from you, maybe something number one would be around recognizing the masculine or feminine, the state that you're mainly in. And if you're both in the same state, it's going to feel a little bit like you're repelling. Is it the same thing if you're both in more of the feminine role?
Yeah, that's a really beautiful point, Natalie. And it's recognizing there can be kind of three ways. If we were just box it into three ways that we can show up, often in relationship, we have a couple that I would call neutralized. They've neutralized each other and it's really kind, it's really calm and it's really safe and everybody has their role and there's no passion, there's no spark. It's like housemates, you know, they're together, but they're just housemates doing life. And then if you slide that polarity apart, you'd have like an extreme feminine, extreme masculine, whoever was holding those points. And what that creates is, if you like, an excessive charge, an extreme charge. So as well as maybe beautiful passion and connectivity, you also have handfuls and bagfuls of drama and chaos as well.
Oh,
so it's like there's a lot of passion and there's a lot of drama and there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of insanity. So there's like almost so much of that feminine energy. But most of the relationship ends up firefighting, ends up with conflict resolution or non-resolution, ends up with, yeah, that conflict zone or a space of no man's land where stability, calmness and a direction is not found within that excessive or extreme pattern.
And again, it's that extreme happens when the feminine doesn't realize she's always wanting more. More connection. I always need more. And the guy's going, God, I'm just trying to get out of here. He's always trying to bolt for the door to go hunting, shooting, fishing. He's just trying to get away. Yeah. And then the third situation is where that actually flips, like we had, where the masculine moves more into the feminine and the feminine is forced into the masculine.
And that's another pattern altogether. What happens inside a, you know, many relationships, one ends up feeling like they're mothering the other. So it ends up as a funky parenting role where neither is feeling empowered. One feels like the other's very needy and there's a provision that's kind of out of balance as well. And that energy is like the two magnets that repel each other. So there's a moving away energy. One's the chaos draws you in. One is neutrality. And the other is the poles that pull apart.
Well, interesting states of being. We've got firefighting. We've got boring flatmates. And then we've got that last one. So what can we do about it once we know that we're in one of these places? What is there a simple, I know there's no simple solution, but is there something we can do to start? Because it's like a fine dance, it sounds like. Is there something we can do to maybe take a few steps towards each other or more in sync with each other to move towards this goal, really, of long-lasting relationships?
Beautiful question. The way Dan and I look at it is, you know, the old classic representation people used to talk about, this is my other half and my better half or my,
yes,
my lesser half, that kind of old adage.
My lesser half.
I've heard everything. That really had a gem within that. That was the preconceived idea that the other person made you a whole person. So the root kind of journey we take with people within the relationship code is coming to find the wholeness of who they are. That is often reclaiming parts of their psyche or their soma. So the pattern of their beliefs, behaviors, their kind of auto responses, and the somatic wisdom, the living intelligence of who they are, and the places they've outcast aspects of themselves. So it is a journey in a way of reclaiming the parts of yourself that make you a whole human being so that a whole me can relate to a whole Dan. And that sets up a completely different relationship dynamic, which is much more, you know, what we look at in the how the earth and the electromagnetic fields of the earth, where there's a balance in the electric and the magnetic field. There's a Taurus field, and a relational field that is healthy starts to pattern itself and represent more of the toroidal field. So we end up with the Taurus coming into communication with another Taurus, as opposed to funky magnets that are either neutralizing, repelling, or attracting with a lot of dynamism.
And I love the way Jenny explains it. And we often talk about, that's how Jenny shares it. And in man speak,
we love man speak.
In man speak, it's almost like, for me, what happened was I realized when I was in America, I was like a workman who only had a hammer. I had a hammer. That was me. And I thought it was fixed. And I thought, that's all I can do. And in America, I kind of realized, well, what about if I got a saw and I could do drilling as well? And I could have these other parts of me. I'd be a far more valuable workman. I'd be far more useful. I'd be far probably happier. I'd be able to do far more things in life. And so my journey, rather than just being this, I was a bit of a magician, always thinking stuff out. But I didn't have that much of that warrior, and I'd lost my lover energy, believe it or not. Even though I'd moved into the feminine, I was kind of, as we say, I was kind of vampiring off Jenny in a way. She was my source of love, and I'd lost my love. So when I brought my lover energy in, and I felt my wild man, which can feel and have fun and get out into the, you know, into the ocean and go tramping in the bush, and I have this warrior, I became so much more valuable. Life became so much more fun. I wasn't this fixed kind of workman with a one tool. And it allowed me basically to, 1 minute I'd be chopping wood and I'd be in that warrior. And then I'd literally walk in and I'd cuddle the dogs and I'd play with the kids for a moment. And then I'd be, I don't know, head down and do some kite surfing in the ocean. I'd be in my wild man. And then I'd get back home and give Jenny a kiss again. I'd be in the lover and jump into the magician energy and start doing some accounts and figuring out what we needed to do to kind of stay ahead and ahead of the game. I'd be in the magician and I can dance around these quadrants, which was so much more valuable. I was more conscious about what I was doing. Life became more fun. And I became more authentically me because I was bringing all these parts to the game rather than what I had been, which was very much stuck in one area.
If you're listening and you've just joined us, this is the Up Your Brave show. We're talking today to Jenny and Dan Abdelnour. And my question for you, do you find yourself stuck in one of the quadrants, as Dan says, and how can you navigate or dance around instead of being stuck in just one? Have a little think about it. What else would you say? I'll go to Jenny for this one. What else would you say are some of the other main issues? So let's say being stuck in a quadrant might be one. What are some of the other main issues that cause relationship breakdown that get people to this point where they're having, like, you know, it's either boring flatmates or the fireworks or the mothering thing? What are some of the reasons for the breakdown?
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons for breakdown in relationships is that minefield called communication. And that is a space that Dan and I danced around for many years and that is always a texture and a terrain that we need to cover when we work with couples. And, you know, at that deepest core level, human beings, all human beings, I sense they want to be seen. They want to be heard. And when we can combine both of those, again, those are qualities of masculine and feminine, they alchemize together in we want to be known. We actually want to be known. So communication, when we realize it's about being known and being met exactly as we are, where we are, it starts to dissolve the patterns of one person needing to be right or forcing an opinion or a whole energy dump happening, or the blame and shame game starting to play out in relationship dynamics. So a beautiful tool that Dan and I often use with ourselves, you know, everything we've done, we've run it through ourselves first. We are a test run and other couples, is to support people in a practice I call going 7 layers deep, which is entering below like the surface level of I've got this thing and I'm feeling this thing. And it's a practice of like, and just underneath that, I feel dropping down and in. Underneath that, I feel. Underneath that, I feel. And in couples and in relationship, to have the capacity and willingness to witness somebody else dropping deeper inside themselves to get to the golden nugget of what it is they're trying to share seems to be like the golden bullet of dissolving conflict, dissolving what I call no man's land, where there's that tension in communication. And to have ourselves met in the heart with whatever it is we want to share, to know that that's a safe space to be seen, to be heard, to be known, seems to create this harmony and this safety for the heart. And in couples, we see a lot of the walls go down, a lot of the defense mechanisms, a lot of the reactivity. So when communication can be a place where we come to respond to each other, as opposed to being right or winning and losing, it's like everything changes. Everything changes.
I think part of the key is having somebody else prompt you with the right questions, or making sure, like, part of that activity, I imagine, would be the importance of listening instead of jumping in. I know I've been in dialogue in previous experiences where I say, I feel like this, and the person goes, yeah, well, so do I. So,
yes.
Right. So it's sometimes having a third party, like you guys who know, you know what you're doing, to either pose the right questions or to just gently facilitate to get down to that, the 7 levels. And I'm kind of picturing like an elevator, but, you know, going down, 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 because they might get to like level 3 submerged, and then they go back up to level 1 and it goes off the rails again. Yeah. Are you finding this is a skill that couples can learn?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, should we try and demonstrate it? Is it worth trying to do a demonstration? Should we do a very brief one? Just we'll do it off
yes,
the fly.
By all sure. means.
Do you want to? It works really well when I feel when there's a little bit of tension there and you're wanting to share, and it helps you get to what the, you know, rather than heading off into a story.
Yeah.
It's like it's the nugget, and below that the nugget. So maybe I'll kind of make it up that if I was to come in stomping my feet a bit and slamming the door or something, and Jenny said, "Babes, come and sit down. Like I want to share." And Jenny, if you want to do, yeah. So this is where that's the situation. I've come in. I'm a little bit frustrated, maybe.
Yeah, so I would honour that there's a charge there. I call it a charge. Yeah. It's like something's been lit. There's a flame been lit. So I'd say, yeah, babe, I can feel there's a charge here. Is there something you want to share with me?
Yeah, and it's basically, you know, the plants outside are dying because they haven't been watered, and I've asked the kids to do it, and I've asked them so many times.
Mm. Yeah, feeling that. And underneath that, what do you feel?
I feel like I sometimes fail as a father because,
And feeling like you fail as a father, underneath, what's underneath that feeling?
Sadness.
I can feel that sadness. Yeah. Just do one more layer. What's underneath that?
Massive amounts of love for you and the kids and the family. And that's not like...
Wow, I feel like you went from one to like five.
Yeah, we've done it a couple of times. So that's what happens, right?
Yeah, because he was able to straight away go, I feel like a failure as a father. It would take some guys, you know, five more drops on that elevator to get there. Yeah.
Yeah. And essentially, just like you said, Natalie, it's like an elevator. And essentially, we're moving out of the head, or the frontal lobe way of communicating or relating, into the field of the heart, which is so much more permissive, so much more expansive, and is a sanctuary for anything to be heard and met. So it's a really great kind of biohack that people find prevents the kind of crisis stages that they used to get in. And we hear couples say, oh, we used to have, you know, six of those a year where we wouldn't speak to each other for 3 weeks. And they notice now that they can catch that before a no thing becomes a really, really big thing. So the whole rhythm and pattern in people's years actually changes with a very simple communication tool.
And if I can just jump in, one of the things I love about it is the simplicity in some ways, in that when I shared it, because Jenny gave that space, I was able to hear it and feel it.
Mm.
And that's where, when we give ourselves space in this communication, we're able to feel and go, what's the truth? I feel like a failure.
Mm. Which is, that's huge to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thank you for role modeling that and role playing that. But I mean, Jenny, you did so well, and it's great for us to see how it is done by people who know what they're doing, to allow him that space and to really hear him and say, yeah, I feel that, and just allow him. Whereas a lot of us, myself included, because I do have a very solutions masculine energy, I'd be like, well, what are you going to do about it? Like, that is normally what I would say. All and he's like, I just want you to hear me. And I'm like, yeah, but what's your plan?
or they start banding. They start saying, "But you do so many other good things. You know, you do a great job with it." It's like, you didn't get me. You didn't hear me. I'm not looking. And even now, I can feel it. This is the pattern. It's like, I'm not looking for a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So I sense that communication piece. I'm just feeling this live, is allowing someone to go where they need to go to reconnect to themselves and their authentic truth of their heart in that moment. Mm. And the truth of the heart in that moment doesn't need very much. It actually doesn't need anywhere near as much as the symptomology or the band-aids we get used to doing for each other to patch people up, to move them away from the intensity of meeting another in their heart field.
And in this situation, Jenny was actually holding more of the masculine role of listening, witnessing, holding, being, keeping feeling that place of holding and keeping safe. And I was dropping into the feminine, opening my heart and feeling and sharing and connecting. And this piece is where, you know, the word intimacy kind of springs up, and that's into me see. It's the chance to see into the truth of my heart, which is connection at the end of the day. That's it.
Well, such a powerful exercise and something I imagine people can try and get better at. We might fall into our habits of interrupting or, like you said, patching someone up. That's got to be so common. Oh, but honey, you're really good at this and you also do that. It's like, no, but that's not helping. So thank you so much for that demonstration. What are some other things before we move on and before we wrap things up? I'd like to ask you actually this. What are some common questions that people come to you with or insights that you find having worked with people?
I mean, Jen, do you want to jump in? One of the things from a guy's point of view, and I'm generalizing here, but one of the things that a lot of men want more of is more action in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do I get more action in the bedroom? And what I love about this is, you know, I could admit I was one of those men. For me, what I've loved about this journey is rather than trying to discover some trick for the bedroom, the solution for us has been when we actually sort out the relationship, kind of everyday relationship, and we step into our full power and I move into that space of being more in the masculine more of the time, or at least I know how to get there and I can be authentic, and Jenny's in the other space or and the love, and we've got a good intimacy during the day. You know, I've heard the term of kind of, you know, or connecting all day long. So we're not like at loggerheads and then trying to get it on in the bedroom. Mm. We're actually in love. Then the bedroom takes care of itself because you're in love. And the longer you're in love and the more you love each other, the more you actually feel like going deeper and sharing, and the trust's there and the love's there. And it's quite amazing. So the opposite is to kind of trying to find some kind of trick, which might work a few times or a few weeks, but that's the secret of long-lasting relationship. It's about being true and authentic.
That's beautiful.
I think a lot of men will be asking that same question. I'm going to use that to promote the interview. How to get more action in the bedroom. You know, when I first started writing my book, and I wrote my book called If Only They Told Me, because, and this will be my next question, but I found it so much harder on the relationship when the kids came along. I really found it shifted the dynamic. And I was like, why did nobody tell me this? Why did they just talk about the nappy bag and the stroller? Why didn't they talk about the relationship? But one of the things I found in my research is there was an American, some coaches, and they talked about what they call chore play. So chore play is the importance of the man, you know, helping around the house. You know, you're more likely to get action in the bedroom. I don't know how true that is, but I thought that was pretty catchy. What is your reflection on that? Did you notice for yourself, or maybe for some people you work with, did the dynamic in the relationship shift when they had children?
100%. And that is often a crunch zone where we get to work with couples, because everything changes. You're not only two living fields working and weaving with each other. There's, you know, more beings, more life forces in there. What we've found with the relationship code is people are able to orientate themselves and to find out how they can best work while navigating with little ones or teenagers, you know, whatever stage of life we're at. And our kids now know about masculine, feminine. They use these concepts and tools all the time. We can navigate off and from each other in these amazing ways where we're each pretty responsible for what we're bringing and what's on top and what we're presenting with. But the relationship dynamics with children is one of the biggest amplifiers of potential shadows that were probably running in the relationship before the kids came along. So it's a big place that we love to bring our work.
And, you know, I'm not for one second saying it is easy, because, you know, anyone who's got a couple of, you know, a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, I mean, I remember going, this is absolute madness. This never stops. It's mayhem. However, at least when you understand where you and your partner are, you've got a chance, you know, at least you're not annoyed at your partner because they're not all, you know, if we say the woman or the person who's in the feminine, who's been looking after the children all day, once you realize they have been in their head juggling 1,000 things, keeping the bottle warm, changing the nappy, changing that, getting that one up, resting, all these things, they're in their head and having to take action. So they're so, they may have a big heart and love their children, but changing, you know, 15 nappies a day and feeding them five times, and it's masculine. There's a lot of masculine effort and energy sometimes required, especially if you're doing a trip to the zoo and you've got to come back. It's nonsense. So just realizing that it can force, you know, somebody into that space. And you've been at work all day, and that's what it is. Again, you go, so we've both been in this masculine space, working hard effectively all day. Yes, I've had two children, but how, if you want to create some polarity, it's recognizing that and then going, so how could I create a space, maybe just for an hour, for my partner, again, to, you know, if I was to say, babe, I'm so grateful. I know you've probably worked as hard, if not harder than me today, looking after these two, and I want to give you an hour. Have a bath, da da da. I'm going to make dinner. I'm going to do my best to make dinner. And yes, you might be wanting to create a charge and polarity. So you might, something might happen in the bedroom. You've got to be able to let go of that. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, and come from that place of love and say, I'm going to do this anyway, regardless, because I love you.
I think that's so helpful to highlight the masculine feminine there, because I would have thought, you know, oh, she's the mother. She spent, and I remember, right, 5 hours a day in the kitchen, yes, you know, loads of laundry a day. I had three kids under the age of five. And so I would have think that would be totally the feminine role, but it's not. It's doing motherly things, but they're absolutely in the masculine. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. I'm going to hang out the washing. Oh, the baby's asleep. I'm going to, right? We're just so in that zone. And for the husband to come in and give us that little window of feminine time, or an invitation or an opportunity to sidestep, segue for a moment into some feminine energy, I think that is just magic. Thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah, it's a big piece, because that's where couples, when children come along, they'll often turn towards each other and they compare. I've done more than you. Can't you see how much I've suffered more than you? So it becomes this tension of, can't you see how hard I've got it? And that place, there is so much magic that can be turned. So much can be changed in that moment. From that tension of comparison, where literally both working places are like a military operation, and it's the relentlessness. So the feminine, when she is having to be in that masculine all the time, the relentlessness, it never stops. So she's asking for a break to drop into, like, can I just feel me? Can I connect to my body? Can I actually have my own body space for, you know, a minute? And I remember those days locking myself in my car to hide away from the kids, or like, you know, these times of, can I feel me? Because when the feminine can't feel herself, there's a void within every relationship. So sometimes it's recognizing what part of what we call the quadrants or the archetype is missing, and how can we gift the whole relationship this archetype, which is often the love that is missing. And that lover quality, that loving energy.
Dan, I'll go to you for one more comment, or maybe you might have another tip or insight for us around creating long-lasting relationships before I ask you the Up Your Brave question. Go ahead.
So another tip regarding long-lasting relationship, it comes back to this, you know, I was very much kind of, if we want to use that term, sucking off the mother tit. It's this kind of, you've got the love, Jenny, and I want some of it for me. So I was trying to get love from Jenny. And the key thing was discovering how I could fill my own bucket, fill my own well. And then I was full. You know, sure, I still want to connect with Jenny, but I'm coming from a place of fullness. So it was realizing, you know, whether it was going kite surfing or treating myself to, you know, a new haircut and spending time, some money on clothes, or just going out with my friends. I'm going out with my mates and we're going to have a meal, and rejoining the soccer club and taking time for me on a Saturday to play 3.5 hours of football. I came back full. Got friends, I got, you know, and that was a game changer. Because Jenny could see it, Jenny could feel it. And Jenny realized she was coming into a relationship with a man who was full of love.
And that was when your kids were slightly older, correct?
Well, yeah, it was probably a decade ago. It was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of at that point when it was like, this is not good. How can we turn this around? Yeah. So as the kids started growing up, I was like, yeah, I definitely can make these changes. Yeah.
I really feel that, you know, and I often talk about ages and stages. Like if the kids are really young and you're like, I'm going out with my mates, I'm going to get a haircut, I'm going kite surfing, it would be like, no thanks. But if they're older and they're busy, like I've got three teenagers right now, it's like now there's way more time as a parent. And I feel like you're right. It's so important for the guy, the dad, to lead and not need, what we were talking about earlier. And I think it's especially relevant as the kids are more independent and there's a bit more time. So thank you so much for those insights. All right, we're going to go to the up your brave question. We're going to start with you, Jenny. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
What would I do or not do? What I would do, which I am doing, is courageously stepping into the homeschooling journey with my children.
Ooh.
And that in a way is a whole other relationship dynamic and configuration. So it's stepping into more than me, more than Dan, this whole relationship field of how can I turn towards myself and how can I turn towards my family and steer the walker, for want of a better word, steer that walker from a place where we've been in survival patterns, intergenerational survival patterns from such a long time back, to a pattern of thrival and breaking rules, breaking code, breaking protocols. So in a way, it's crumbling of the old paradigms, crumbling of the old patterns, and courageously stepping into the unknown with the children. And for me, the up my brave is about exampling in the world as all of who I can be.
That is amazing. And, you know, it is so popular, isn't it, right now? So many people doing homeschooling. And I commend you for that. That is so amazing. What about you, Dan? What does upping your brave look like for you?
Well, we've just run another retreat for 5 days and it was just off the charts, amazing and beautiful. And I loved it so much. So we've pretty much decided we're going to take this to the world and we're going to travel to different countries. We're going to go and visit my parents in the UK. And on the way there, we're stopping in East Coast of Australia, West Coast of Australia, Bali in the UK. And we're going to do retreats there as well with people and some on the way back probably as well. So
homeschooling and retreats. Amazing. You know, before we started recording, I did say to you, you know, what was one of the biggest takeaways, you know, from the retreat? And you talked about dead men walking. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, from my point of view, it was like men who really struggled to feel, who couldn't take that handbrake off their feelings, who couldn't open the heart. And there were some men there who, you know, probably had a closed heart for 40, 50 years, half a century of not really being able to cry and feel. And they took those handbrakes off. And their words, I'm a new man. I am a new man. I found life. And, you know, 60, 70-year-old men, you know, how long left have we got?
Yeah.
And so to find life and be able to cry and feel those emotions and look at their partner in the eye and hold them and hug them and see the smile on their face as they embraced. And it was like, I'm back. I did it. I found life. I found love. And I'm never going to let go of this for the rest of my life. That's just like, wow.
And it was literally like seeing all these people, and we know this is happening in the world, right? People in sheep's clothing, suddenly they rip that off, the heart comes forward, and here are the lions. Mm. Here are the lions that are ready to step in with the courage and the conviction and that full capacity to be exactly who they need to be at this time of change.
Yeah.
Well, bring it. I'm excited for people to, you know, up their brave and be who they truly are. I think that the work that you do is so powerful. It's so easy for men, especially, to put that handbrake on. And I feel like we just want them to be who they are. We do want them to feel. And we know that in order to heal, you do need to feel. So thank you for the work you do. How can people connect with you? Where can they find you online? And what else is coming up in the coming months?
So you can find us at relationshiprising.com. We're also at facebook.com/relationshiprising. And yeah, if you want to find more about what we do and the courses, the kind of you do it yourself course, and there's courses for men and for women and for couples, and there's practices with all of those, and that's at relationshiprising.com. And we've actually put together a special offer for all of your listeners. Yeah. And the coupon code, so it's 25% off, and the coupon code is RCR. So if you go to relationshiprising.com, there's programs there for men, women, and couples, and all the exercises and practices that changed my life and changed it, we've put them in there so people can go, how do I bring through more of this warrior energy, or how do I bring through more of this masculine? It's all in there. And 25%.
Yes, because you talked about the magician and the warrior.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, well, first of all, thank you so much on behalf of our listeners. I love when my guests do a special offer. And whether you're listening to this on the live stream, everybody, or you're listening to the replay a few months later, you can grab this. I think it's until the end of 2024 with that promo code 25%.
Yep, till the end of the year. Yeah.
Perfect. RCR at relationshiprising.com. Amazing. Anything else coming up that you want to mention? Or
I think that's it. Yeah, I think we'll be at festivals and stuff. So if you're interested in where you can find out about us, maybe private messages from the Facebook, relationshiprising.com. And we can let you know when we've had it confirmed that we're doing workshops and if there's any retreats coming up. But we haven't got anything locked in just as yet.
Amazing.
But, we will be doing some retreats before we leave New Zealand in early April.
Amazing. And any social medias they can follow you on if you didn't already say it?
The main one we're on is Facebook at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. All right. Well, go to each of you for any final words that you'd love to share with our listeners around today's topic, which is creating long-lasting relationships in a modern world. Anything else you'd like to share? We'll go for you, Jenny.
The piece I would love to share, which is a piece to encourage people in their hearts to keep turning towards the one they're with, is, you know, everywhere you go, there you are. So often if we keep moving to the next person and the next person and the next person, we are only meeting ourselves at that level and that space. So the invitation to keep turning towards the one that you're with and to go deeper and to open the bandwidth of who you are and the depth capacity of who you really are is a rewarding experience beyond any of my wildest dreams.
Beautiful. What about you, Dan?
I'd say dare to dream. You know, I know how far off the mark I was as a man. You know, I'd almost say I was doing almost the opposite of everything I'm doing now. And it's kind of, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's fairly simple. You know, once you know what you got to do, that's it. And then break those patterns and change. And when you change, the whole world around you changes. So yeah, it's a message of hope.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dan and Jenny, for joining us today.
Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you. So connect with us today.